Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more? Welcome to Warmaster Podcast, episode 180 with Chris and Paul and Barry.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, listeners.
Thanks for coming back on, Chris. For people that don't know, Chris is vice chair of the rules committee, and also he prepares this lovely change document that we're going to be discussing today.
Thank you, Barry. Nice to be back here. It's been a while, actually. It's been about a year, hasn't it, since we did a similar podcast for last year's things. So, yes, you've got your mug there. If you're playing the podcast drinking game, it's three sips or three fingers if they have a guest, Paul and Barry have a guest on. If you're looking for the drinking game, it's on the experimental forum. I think I put it up a while ago there.
It's been an eventful year. So, and we really did take the brakes off the old war wagon this year for changes to the army list. So there's quite a lot going on.
Well, I mean, it's been a good year, of course, for the game. Beautiful, brand new army list book, or actually our rule book, actually. Alice has put a ton of work into that. And it's nice to see that's sparking a lot of interest in people coming into the game. Hopefully not just the people who want to print a rule book and stick it on a shelf, but hopefully people who want to actually play and get into playing the game. We're at a very nice place with miniatures for Warmaster. Extremely easy now. I think almost all the factions have been done. The one or two that we don't have a full line of printable miniatures for, they're definitely in the pipeline and will be done within the next couple of months. I'm thinking of the Beastmen that Greenskin is doing. He's nearly done with that. And we're now at the miniatures at the point where actually we've got multiple options for many of the armies. You know, in the Warmaster cycle of Zodiac, I think this is the year of the dwarf, because we're getting dwarves from, we've got two dwarf armies from Cromarty Forge, both of them lovely. We've got Forest Dragon doing that at the minute. And it's really a good time to be playing Warmaster.
Yeah.
Good. Right, so should we crack on, because there's a lot to get through today.
Yeah,
there's
lots to do.
Lots to do.
So, if I share this document, I believe Alice has put it up on the Revolution site. So if you want to download it and read it for yourselves. The format, as always, we've got the changes that were agreed on this year. We've got also a record of changes that were made historically, just so that if anybody ever wonders, when was that changed? Also, sometimes we wonder when was that thing changed, that we've got a little record of it. There's been a little bit of a change in the way that stuff gets from being a conceptual idea into an approved status rule for the game. So yeah. Barry, I think you were more involved in that. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because we used to have four stages and now we have three.
Yeah. So basically what we had was a stage where we would, after a period of 1 year, we would re-vote on everything. So we'd vote something through, and that would be then developmental, I believe. It would go from experimental to developmental. So experimental is when people have done some playtesting and brought it to people to kind of champion and get through the process. And then we would vote on it and it would become developmental, which was like a halfway house between approved and experimental. So it's been voted on once and people thought it was a good idea, but then we'd have a confirmatory vote the year after. But what in effect that was doing was just doubling the amount of work. So in 2022, we'd have all of 2022 votes to do, plus a repeat of all 2021's votes. And basically that process was only ever doing like a safety net. It was just providing a way to retract if we got something wrong. It wasn't really rubber stamping the changes, because most of the changes were fine. So they just sailed through. But what it was doing was just providing a safety net, and also doubling the amount of work for Alish and Dave with his website, the Army List Builder. And so we had to think about where we were and what we were trying to achieve. And rather than have two Well, they have, having the safety net and having to vote on everything, what we would do is then, like we've done with the pikemen, if we make something that's wrong, which everybody makes mistakes, you know, even groups of people make mistakes. It was with 21 different heads looking at things. Sometimes things don't go the way you want it to go. So what we've decided to do is just reverse bad decisions rather than re-vote on every good decision. So if you get something wrong and somebody says, we've got this wrong, and they put it up to vote and people agree, yeah, it's not working like we wanted it to work. It's a bit overpowered or whatever it is. It's underpowered. And then it's only happened once. And it will happen again. But this way, we've reduced one of the stages and we've reduced a ton of admin. Ton of admin for me, ton of admin for Alish, and an unbelievable amount of admin for Dave. I don't even know how he could keep that many different lists running on his website.
The idea of the developmental was sort of almost supposed to be approved, and we thought we'd got it balanced for most armies, so it was kind of okay maybe to use in a tournament if the TO agreed. And you know, you say we got it wrong once with the pikemen. I'd add Nippon, the first version developmental of the Nippon list. There were some major exploits that only became apparent when some people in the community decided to exploit them. And at the end of the day, the process that we went through of you know, going back to playtesting, the status of the list didn't really matter at that point. So this simplifies it.
Also, when people went to Alice's site to get the book, there was like so many different versions of developmental 2021, experimental 2020, approved 2021. It was just like nobody's using any of these lists apart from the approved list. So yeah, calling it developmental didn't mean anything because most players just use whatever the approved lists were. So we just now we've got to the stage where if it gets passed, it moves to approved. If it's wrong, next year they'll get dragged out of approved, whatever the change is. So worst case scenario is something is wrong, and hand on heart, I'm not sure we got everything right this year, but that's just my one perspective. I'm only one set of eyes. It'll get changed next year if it really is wrong.
Yeah, and it keeps a scene like that dynamic, doesn't it? You know, like, is in thing, you know, I prefer, I think that's a better system. It's like, there's only positives to what you've like sounded off there.
Yeah, and we had a big, I mean, everybody should be aware of the fact that we had to go through a big change process this year. So there was a big impetus to get a nice set of books out and try and get as many changes done as possible. So that it's likely one or two things have slipped through unintended. But that's just the way of it. Nobody's getting paid to do this and they're giving up a lot of time, especially people like Alish and Matthew and Jan and Chris. Just ridiculous amounts of time. But thank you for doing it.
No, it's a community effort. Thank you, Barry, for what you, because you do a lot as well behind the scenes.
We've also got Ian. We can't ignore Ian. Ian's our white knight at the moment, running around, putting out fires and stuff.
Yep.
And growing the community with his, he's got a lot of dudes on that YouTube now. The man.
Yeah. It's very popular.
Well,
so they're good videos. They're really good videos. And they come. The reason they're so good, they come from such an experienced player that any advice that he gives is always good. And they're beautifully produced. I think Ian's missing a trick not doing voiceover work, because he probably could get some good jobs from doing that.
Fantastic. Okay, so we've talked about where we are with the now three categories. Here comes the meat.
Right. So as we read through this, we're only going to talk, we decided before we went on air, we're just going to talk about the 2023 changes. So anything, if you're watching the video version of this, if you see anything in grey italics, that stuff that's been voted on before, it's in the document if you want to download it. But so this podcast is only going to be like, you know, a couple of hours long, that we're just going to talk about 2023 changes.
Well, hopefully we can get it done quicker than that. But yeah, certainly no longer than that. Holy moly. Okay,
so shall we kick off? We'll go through the armies alphabetically. And I think when we come on to Albion, Ian has made some very good points. Ian and Alice actually have made some points about reducing the point value of some high cost units, particularly high value monsters. So across the board, we have voted on points changes. You'll see this coming up quite a lot. So all the armies who have giants, they now get them for 135 points, which is about a 10% reduction. And you see that in many, many, many armies. Probably when we get to it, it's probably more interesting to talk about the army that wasn't, where the points value wasn't changed for the high value cavalry. But that's a different discussion. But yeah, so yeah. Albion now, you now get an extra, what, 15 or 30 points. If you were playing Albion, would you ever take two giants or one giant?
I wouldn't even take one giant. Would I be getting a Fen Beast for free? So, whatever. I mean, giants, I don't know if people are used to using them. They really are very unreliable, and it's very difficult for them to do very much for their points, unless you're very lucky on the giant goes mad table.
They're entertainment value for a friendly game.
Yeah.
That goblin shaman trying to command them from the other side of the table, so you know the giant's going to go a bit loopy.
Right, good stuff. So right, yeah, that's an easy one.
The points cost reduction on light cavalry, Barry. I wasn't so involved in that discussion. Would it, Jude, if you want to?
Well, I can, Bug. It's something I fought against, but I'm quite happy to discuss it. Okay. Because I felt like it just exaggerated a problem that was more widespread in the game than that. I think lots of things we're doing to reduce the cost of cavalry are ignoring the problem that the real issue is that the 3-3-4 plus cavalry are too cheap. And we keep making other stuff cheaper in order to make the difference between like these light cavalry desert riders and the knights that Araby have. So that different that points difference is bigger. And in fact, it would probably be more sensible to just kind of push up the cost of knights over the board, across the board, and then leave these kind of where they were, and they'd still have the same points differential. But anyway, so for some reason we decided that these guys needed a discount because they don't do enough on board, because we took away the kind of can't be pursued rule, which was an optional rule.
Yep.
And that made them really bad value again. Because the only thing that people were taking a lot of these bad boys, not this one, but these light cavalry. People were like taking 8, 10, 12 units of the buggers. So what we did was obviously very impactful in the game, but probably too much so. Mm. So when we reined that back again, they went back to the kind of being close to useless.
Were the people who were taking a dozen units of them, were they people who played a lot of ancients by any chance? Because the removal of the pursuit thing on the optional light cavalry rule, it did make me feel like we were sort of doing skirmishers by stealth.
I think there's actually very few people who play both ancients and Warmaster like Revolution. So no, I don't think that was the case. No, I think it was just people just making use of that light cavalry optional rule.
Mm. Okay. Right, so we'll see that in a few armies. Bye-bye, go on.
Oh, it's just I mean, I've already said what I need to say about this, but I mean, the problems are twofold. One is the knights issue, and two, that shooting is deliberately overcosted everywhere in every list, whether it's skeleton bowmen, whether it's like, I don't know, high elf archers, everybody, all shooting's expensive. And I think it was built into the game so that people couldn't have gunline armies. It just couldn't be done. You could try it, but it wouldn't work because everything's too expensive with too little armor. So I think, I don't know long-term if shooting should ever really be viable in the game. As anything other than just to add kind of confusion to the game, like to mess with people's plans. You shouldn't be winning games with shooting is what I'm trying to say.
Well, okay. you can't. That's the point. My view is it probably should stay like that, because, otherwise you're just playing, you know, line up your soldiers and roll some dice.
Line up your soldiers, walk forward and die. Yeah. Okay.
Isn't that the core mechanic in the new edition of 40K?
Every edition of 40K, I think.
I think it is, yeah.
Can I get there before I'm all dead? Is the game. Right, so Beastmen.
Or do people just throw actual money at each other rather than bothering buying the models?
That would cut out a lot of the middleman, actually, if they just did that. Yeah, like, I don't think everyone would be happier.
That's 40K version 11 coming out in about 2 years' time. Anyway.
we're not talking about 40K. We haven't got time for that nonsense. Beastmen.
But the Beastmen were actually, there's quite a few changes here. A few of the armies have had quite significant changes. The Beastmen things, shall we read? Let's read them out.
Yeah.
So, Beastmen infantry do not suffer the usual minus one command penalty within woodland. That is logical. Fits with the background. Perfectly fine. Centaurs, light cavalry reduction, same as what we just talked about for the Araby. Dragon Ogre Shaggoth reduced to 160. And again, that's just another part of the reducing of high value monsters.
So are these the giants that aren't giants?
Dragon these Ogre are the well behaved giants.
Well behaved giants. Without the, so you just pay an extra, whatever it is, 25 points to not roll on the table.
Mm. Which some people says takes all the fun out of it.
They're certainly no better, are they? I mean, they're not a Stegodon or anything. But okay, Screaming Bell.
Paul, do you have this army, Beastmen?
I've used it. Yeah. I've used it before and won an event with it. But what I found is obviously it relied massively on how much scenery is on the table. You know, as in like for it to use its best ability. And so if you had a way of making sure tables had like a set amount of scenery, then Beastmen would be benefit from that. But one of the games I played in that event I won, there was just literally barely any scenery on it. I didn't have anywhere for my Beastmen to ambush out of, so I had to use the sides of the tables, which is basically meant they really didn't get much involvement. But I think also a bit of a luck on the day, because then I played that same army into Sherwin like after the event and I got smashed. Yeah, like so it was just like sometimes you can be good in the moment. So it's like, yeah, I've had some experience with Beastmen. But this all of these changes would make them a much more interesting army.
Okay. So you would take the Shaggoth if it was a bit cheaper?
Yeah. I in that event, in that list that I won an event with, I had a unit of dragon ogres. You know, and they got, did dragon ogres get reduced in points?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I find a use for them. And, you know, I'm not so negative on monsters, I guess, as some, but I, you know, the fact they're cheaper means I'm more inclined to use them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If someone is running a sweepstake for when we find the first typo in this document, yeah, that's, yeah. I'm calling that now, because the, you're right. The Dragon Ogres did get reduced in the Chaos Army, so I'll tidy that up. Or maybe Alice has already tidied it up. Okay, what else have we got? Screaming Arrows. Screaming Arrows, when you cast a spell, any dice that you roll for drive backs from a Screaming Arrows spell will now cause confusion on a roll of 4, 5, or 6. So that's good. That's a big buff for that spell. Very useful for disrupting plans and being annoying. Mm-hmm. But it does say, note that if a unit is taken other hits as well, it'd be necessary to roll for the Screaming Arrows dice separately. So if you've been shot at by multiple targets and then had the spell cast, the drive back dice for the spell need to be rolled separately. That's always been the case, actually. It's just a clarification to make the intent of the rule a bit more simple. What else? The changes to the spawn. The spawn crops up in a couple of army lists, Beastmen and Chaos. So ups and downs here. You can add spawn to a brigade, up to 2 spawn units, and that means you can have a maximum brigade size of 4 other things plus 2 spawn.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, then there's a -1. There's a -1 command penalty unless you've got more non-spawn than spawn. Next thing, spawn cannot be driven back by shooting and never roll for drivebacks. Spawn units must pursue or advance if victorious in combat. So kind of like the fanatics. But major change there is the intention that they're really like a good missile shield out in front of the rest of your army. Whether you have this part of the brigade, up to you. But I know many people will have the spawn either on the front rank or in the front rank, but offset out, so in a slightly irregular formation, so that it's there as the missile shield. And I think that's quite useful. Spawn, they're not something you want to charge, I don't think. If you see it on the front of your opponent's brigade, you want to get in round the back. A bit nasty when they're cornered. Have you guys played this again with this ruling place?
Not yet. No. But it does give Spawn a much more viable choice. I mean, the fact that Spawn have such a high save means that they can dice anything.
They are three ups, isn't that right?
Yeah.
One of the few things
you can reliably roll three plus on like a whole bunch of dice in skew combat. It's like they're good. They're not basically they're not the thing that the opponent wants to attack.
No. Okay. Well, that sounds good. I'll dust off the spawn model next time I get my Chaos Army out. So we'll pass through all of these other things that were voted on last year. Just with one thing, actually, to say, the version of the Hunting for Gore spells in the changelog is actually the correct version. There are some almost final versions of the army list document which actually had a small typo in the Hunting for Gore spell. I think to give credit to Alice here, when he did both the rule book and the new army list book, everything was retyped from scratch rather than copied and pasted. I'm not quite sure why he decided to do it, because it's the longest way possible. But I think a couple of errors were got. We tried to catch as many internally in the committee as we could. But so basically the advice is go to the Revolution site now and download the current version of the lists. Right, what's next? Cathay? Final list approved 2023.
I think there were changes to the list, but I mean the list was kind of in that flux where you kind of the list was the list, wasn't it? So we approved the list, we didn't approve the changes within the list, if that's fair to say.
Yeah, and this has been a big labor of love for Jim over the last, my goodness, 5-6 years, something like that. And I know that he's gone around and play tested every possible permutation of rules and tweaks and this and that. It's been very interesting for me. His thought process on how you design and refine things is rather different to mine. But I've learned a lot from listening to that. What happened in 22 and 2023? Sherwin has made a lot of input as well into the what's now the final version. So, it's a nice army. If you want to do the Cathay army, miniatures can be got from either probably a combination of Magister Militum and Eureka, or there's a guy in Chile called Tordo who has a Patreon and he's working his way through all the files for Cathay at the minute. He's a nice guy. He's been doing it for about so hello Matthias, if you're listening. He's been doing it for about 18 months now. Started off doing Tomb Kings, then progressed on to some other armies. He's done quite a lot of demon army. So if you want, let's not invoke any GWIP. If you want the pleasure god or the skull god, the armies are there with all the units. And he's doing the other two, two other deities that might map into a universe you're familiar with. And he's been doing, I think he's finished Nippon this month, and Cathay shouldn't be far behind. And they're nice models and they print really well. So get out there and try it. Nice big infantry heavy army. And let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, Chaos. Spawn.
Same rules as Spawn. Yeah.
Same as before. Dragon Ogres. So there's Dragon Ogres. They're now 230, not 250.
Yep.
Still a whole chunk of cheese, though, 230.
Yeah, but when you start stacking things into Dragon Ogres, like if you have a combat character, if you have a spawn, like with the Dragon Ogres, the amount of that attacks you can do in a small frontage is. It's quite a big thing. It's not unbeatable. Like it can be.
Just don't fight them. The art of fighting without fighting.
Yeah, fighting and not fighting. Or in a recent thing, like Sherwin had that situation where he had Dragon Ogres, Spawn, and a combat character who's facing against it, and so he the maximum damage they could do was kill one of his units of Bannermen, which was 9 wounds, but he could put more than 9 back on them. So that was a way of way of using the game's mechanics to like get around something.
Okay. The next change though is good. This is good.
Trolls.
Trolls. And it's surprising that the Battle of the Five Armies has been around for a long old time now. I've got a couple of copies, but we haven't stolen any of their rules until now. Yeah. There's some elf cavalry rules, and there's rules for, like, yeah, but I don't know why we never went in there and kind of stole stuff more. But this is definitely a win-win, isn't it? Because trolls in the current game system are just a nightmare. For as long as I've played this game, we've laughed about how you just can't do anything with fucking trolls. Eventually, they'll get in the game if you're lucky, if it goes long enough, but... There was a very first game we played online, or me and Paul. There was some trolls in a wood, and they never came out for the whole game. The whole game. Because there was no free half-pace move, they're just never coming out.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to get them to go. Yeah, like, but so
this
yeah,
is brilliant.
But this is. It gives them a negative, but one that you can manage, you can mitigate, which suits an Orc and Goblin army. So it has like, so there's a character like assigned to where trolls are, just to keep them in line. It's a really elegant solution to the troll problem,
and it's a solution that the kind of people who designed the game came up with when they redid Battle of Five Armies, because they knew trolls were hard work. So the only issue I have, some of the tiny issues, they're actually quite reliable now, aren't they? As long as your character's 20 centimeters in front of the troll, you can give them two orders just as normal.
Basically they're just something that needs. It's cool. They need something that needs individual management, isn't it? So it's orcs and goblins tend to have a lot of characters. This is a good solution for them. And and if they get caught out of position or something, then they have problems. It's like trying to order trolls at at 40 centimeters is not going to, well, really not. Yeah, you're not going. Would you even try? Yeah, like you, if you assume you're passing it, so it's a way that also the opponent could work around. So it's like, right, okay, where is characters going to be? You know, like they're then tied to a position of that unit. So you could, right, if I move into that character, where's he going to go? How's that affect all the trolls next turn? It's not like, oh, it's a negative that will never be in play, it'll never be used. No, it will get used. It works. You could plan against it, like as an opponent. And also, and you see the rationale there, make trolls a more viable unit because they had issues beforehand. They were like, I'd take trolls in Orc and Goblin army, but I'd assume I'd never pass an order with them and they'd be half pacing it until they got somewhere where they'd go on initiative.
That was it. Or use them defensively. Mm-hmm. But good change. Okay,
so the Chaos Army gets this. Have either of you ever seen a Chaos Army that included trolls?
No.
In theory, yes.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. Kudos. If you're the first, if you play trolls in a Chaos Army now, kudos to you. You're the first.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
Is it worth mentioning the probably anomaly here is that the expensive unit that did not get reduced in points was Chaos Knights.
Is it not in the thing at all?
Nope. No, we voted on it and we decided not to. We felt they were...
No, I mean, it's not in this document. They were 200
points for good reason.
No, do you want me to explain the rationale why it didn't get through? Or?
Explain. Well, say what the premise was.
So we were reducing the price by 10% of all the big expensive units generally across the board.
Yeah.
But we had to vote them individually, obviously, because you can't just... like wave a wand and say everything's changing. And the problem with the Chaos Warriors was people felt that the fact that they were effectively open-ended in the amount you can take led to potentially quite exploitative list builds where you could have armies that were effectively just these cheaper Chaos Warriors. Chaos Knights, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's not Chaos Warriors, it's Chaos Knights.
Chaos Knights, yes.
So you'd have a minimum amount of infantry and then you'd have this unbelievably tough core of Chaos Knights with not much else. And so there was a discussion about capping it to two, which with hindsight would have been a sensible compromise. And if I'm being honest, it's probably where we're going to end up next year anyway. So they'd be 180 points rather than 200, but with a cap of two per thousand. Because then what the worst case scenario, you're facing four units. And four units of Chaos Knights are nothing to be sniffed at, because that is a lot of pain coming your way. but potentially having unlimited. So I don't know if you could squeeze in 8 units. You could definitely squeeze in 6 units. Mm. Can't even squeeze in 6.
Interesting War Master trivia question here. Which unit can you never take the maximum allowance? Because Chaos Knights are 4 per thousand.
Yeah, I don't think you can get that.
In theory, 800 points, but in your first 1,000 points, you got to pay for the general, you got to pay for a unit of Chaos Warriors, and you got to pay for the Marauders, and there isn't, there are enough points left over actually to take. So effectively, it's 3 per thousand.
Yeah, I thought so.
You might just be able to squeeze in 7 if you really, really, really wanted to. Whether you limit them at 3 per thousand, 2 per thousand, although the other way of looking at it is who actually takes that number of, you know, cavalry. I mean, a cavalry heavy army, Barry, as you know yourself from your
lots of people take 6 units of cold ones in dark elves. Yeah. So it's not unusual to go down that route.
No,
lots of people take eight units of boar riders.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Your empire list is 6 units of knights, isn't it?
So I just think it was we could have got this done if we'd have been a little bit more flexible, but for whatever reason we weren't. So it got rejected, yeah. And that's a good thing about a committee. If it's not like 21 people all agreeing and saying let's move on, there are some kind of heated discussions, and if you don't get 2/3 majority, you don't get 2/3 majority.
Yeah.
So I would expect it to change next year, if I'm being honest, but. Because I think 2 per thousand's plenty for Chaos Knights, personally. Would you really want to play a game against 6 Chaos Knights?
No, not really.
So, Paul, do you want to talk us through Chaos Dwarves and what's happened?
Yeah, certainly. So, Chaos Dwarves, Hobgoblin Wolf Riders, they're a light cavalry profile, so they've got a change across the whole system. You know, it'd be down to 75 points. So
we're at this discount, we haven't said how much discount, have we?
Yeah, I think it was 5 points. Yeah, like their eruption spell. Now this is also another change to basically spells that had a D3 random ability in them. This spell does D3 attacks across several units. That's got changed to 3 attacks to take away that randomness element. So that spell is copied, is in like a similar spell in High Elves, for example, that's gotten that, you know, like game change across the board. So the eruption spell, like which, you know, a spell affects 3, it gives 3 attacks, not D3 randomly to various different units. It makes it then possible that you would cast it. Because if it was D3, rolling a 1 on the unit you need it to doesn't really make any difference.
So you're right, Paul, it was 5 points discount.
Yeah, cool. And then your Hobgoblin brigading change. So before, Hobgoblins had problems with brigading. What the change was is Hobgoblins and Orcs have a strong hatred of Hobgoblins. So Hobgoblins and Orcs have a strong hatred of units. So Hobgoblins or Hobgoblin Wolf Riders may not be brigading with units of Black Orcs or Orc Slaves unless a Warrior or Blunderbuss unit is past the brigade to make Hobgoblins a viable unit. So that then changes them to, you know, so they can be, have more options as long as Chaos Dwarves are there to, like, you know, give them control.
Okay.
There was some, we could speak about one or two things that didn't happen with Chaos Dwarves, or do we want to leave that?
What are you thinking of in particular, sir?
Well, I remember there was debates about two things about with Chaos
Dwarves. Oh, no, not the Leadership 10 thing. Move along, sir. Move along.
There was also,
I don't have time for that.
Okay, there was also one about Hobgoblins. You know, like you could change out a core choice of Chaos Dwarves for Hobgoblins, like as in your core choices.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I don't know why. Yeah, it would have made it cheaper, wouldn't it? Because at the moment,
but it gave you an option of list building. So it's like you have to take 2 units of Chaos Dwarves. Well, one of those units of Chaos Dwarves could be 2 units of Hobgoblins. So that was it, but it didn't get passed.
I don't think that progressed very far at all, did it?
It didn't.
Because that's the thing. So not everything that even gets suggested even gets to be voted on, because it has to be nominated. There's like a process, and lots of things get discussed without even moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Next.
Brigading change.
Demons, this is nice and quick.
Are we going to mention the fact there is a change to artillery? Because will be a notice. Mm-hmm.
Right, so the artillery, where was that?
Down there.
That was...
I don't think that was a 2022 change. I don't know Yeah, but there is a change been made in that the restriction on having either or has been removed.
Yeah.
And so you can have quite big brigades. Now, in the same kind of respect as goblin armies can have quite big brigades of artillery. I mean, you can have a lot of artillery in this army now, I think. Because they've got, they've got the bolt throwers as well, haven't they?
They have golden bolt throwers, which are, I think, 2 per 1,000.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right.
And then it used to be one either the Earthshaker cannon's basically a cannon, the other one's basically a stone thrower. So now you can have both. So rather than two bigger artillery pieces per 1,000 or 1 per 1,000, you now get 2 per 1,000.
So you can have 2 full artillery brigades. You can have like 8 pieces of artillery. That is a whole chunk of your army though, and they don't last very long when they get charged.
Yeah,
well, especially if you get charged in the flank or back.
If you can get to them to get them to charge them.
What I said, that's always the game, isn't it? That's the game with artillery. If you get 8 units of artillery taken off the board, you've lost the game, haven't you? It's not even remotely close. But if they keep all 8 units on the board, it's going to be quite a struggle.
Also knowing your scenery rules, is going to help, because now scenery, like if you mount something on the hill, there are things that block line of sight from a hill. So knowing the current, the core changes of how scenery is will help mitigate artillery. It's like it's not always going to have a range to, like, it will be able to see something that fires at it.
Yeah, like trees now block line of sight.
Yeah, exactly. Like, is it
area
like
terrain?
It's like they could be mitigated by a decent amount of scenery on the table.
Yeah, or you could always get that wood elf spell and just ignore it. No stand and shoot, just take them off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's next? So yeah, that's a change that went through. I think it went through this year.
Okay, I don't remember voting on that, but anyway. Right. Demons. Nice, demons. Simple. Mm-hmm. 2 units have got points reductions. So greater demons now 280. Demon beasts now 200. That's a big change for the demon beasts, actually. But the big change for both. This is not an army that I have, actually. I have an unpainted version of Barry's models somewhere in the painting queue. But Barry, you've played with your own demon army. And Paul, I guess you have as well.
Yeah.
Would this make you take these units?
Yeah, I take demon beasts now, but nobody will fight them in the same way as what are they called? The dragon ogres. Nobody fights demon beasts. They're too big and too strong. And you can regrow them. So
That's really good for demons. Is if you're going to regrowing a stand of demon beast is the thing to do.
Yeah. But the greater demon is the same trap as your high elf ride. I'm not interested in them. The biggest issue with these is you cannot get to a point where you make these viable. Otherwise, the game really will be like that old Hero Hammer where you're just flying around with monsters killing everything.
Yeah, I suppose it is you're right. I guess it is a balancing act, because at 300, they were like pointed out. At 280, well, it gives them more of a chance to be on the table. But where do you want it to be exactly? Because you might end up with a situation where they're suddenly undercosted and every army would have 2 greater demons in it and they're dominating. At least they're there to be tried now.
So if they're 280, I'm still not really that interested. If you start getting like 200, people are starting to go, oh my God, that's a lot of hitting for 200. Because they really are like scalpels, aren't they? The amount of damage they put, the facing is minuscule, and they bring terror, and they've got some defensive fire normally. They've got like breath weapons and shit. Oh my God. Yeah, I don't want to ever see these as like viable options on the table, really. They've got to be like more of a fluff choice, because you can't balance stuff like this. I think when games really struggle is to try and balance things that are like deliberately like miles outside the norms. How do you balance something like that? It's good that it's a bit cheaper. I don't think it make any real difference, but I would never want to be in a world where these were a viable option, I don't think.
Okay.
Take them as a character.
Interesting thought here, which I just had while you were thinking. If we were playing 3,000-point games, are these higher-pointed units more viable at 3,000 than 2,000?
No.
Yeah.
Too much of your points?
No. I think cannons and stuff become, the more points you play, the more stuff like cannons and artillery can get out of hand. But six dwarf cannons are no joke. There's not much standing up to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Right. So, nice symbol was Dark Elves. Hydra down to 125.
Never used them. Never used Dark Elves, really, but...
I've played them badly a lot, driving gym statistics for that army down. I tried to Hydra in my first couple of games. It's nice and fluffy, but the brigading restriction means that you really have to want to take it in the army, and you probably have to assign a character to babysit it. Paul, you do take the Hydra, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, it's because the original like Dark Elf model was like lovely. I mean, I've found a place for it, but it's not. It doesn't see play in a 6 cold one night Dark Elf list.
Mm. It was one of the few ones that people had talked about actually being viable even before the points change. I had seen people take them, because you don't often see people take monsters, but in armies that I'd seen them, Hydra was probably the most commonly taken.
Yeah.
I don't. Maybe that's like Paul said, it's just like people like the model or people like the idea of a Hydra. I don't know. Yeah. And then certainly they've got Leadership 10, haven't they? That makes a big difference.
The Dark Elf army, it's arguable, doesn't need any kind of buffing. But I think this is a viable option. Although, again, philosophical thought here. If it was still 150, or 140, sorry, but you could brigade it with certain unit types, does that make it more viable?
I think you've got to be careful with monsters being able to be brigaded, because that's part of what keeps the power level down, is not being able to brigade them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now you're adding, for the price of a cheaper than a combat character, you're adding something with a lot of attacks and terror into a brigade.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I think he knew what he was doing when he invented that rule, Rick.
Yeah, there's no question about that. It's just that these are questions that come up on the Facebook group from time to time, but what if this?
Yeah.
Just interesting to hear your take on that. Okay, so moving on. Dogs of War, light cavalry down to 75.
Yeah.
Lions down to 135, again, across the board. Pikemen, back to the old stat line and points.
No, they got 10 points off.
They got 10 points off.
Okay.
Okay. That was a big change. They're only 5 points more than halberdiers now.
Yeah. I think pikemen are the most interesting thing of recent years, aren't they? In terms of like they were something that was wanted to be changed to make basically make them better at what their actual role was supposed to be. They had a change, and then people felt that change made them too good at it. You know, having 5 plus armor, you know, and defensive stats against, you know, made them too strong against cavalry and other things. So now they've been changed back again, like, and not to the original profile, to different. So I think in terms of as a game's development, as like mechanics, they've been the most interesting thing.
Mm. I think the problem was they became very good offensively as well. It wasn't just they were good defensively, which they obviously are because of the facing and the fact they've got defended against cavalry. It was the fact that they were really good going forward because they got 4 attacks per stand on a short base with 5 up armor. And they were rolling up other similarly priced infantry with ease.
Yeah, and that was changing what they were supposed to do in terms of what they envisioned to do. But it's a case of where you pull one lever and another thing changes on it. Yeah, but it's just in terms of from the outside looking in, like the back and forth of pikemen would be the most like interesting thing of a change log.
Question for you both then: do you think this is the last change we will see for pikemen?
Don't know. Like I think a change of pikemen might be like, as in it'd be an extreme one, but it's like, uh-oh, we can't find a role for this unit that balances it, and they need to Dogs of War don't have that. They don't have pikemen. They have like, I don't know, like they is in the whole concept of them changes.
I think there's quite a lot of rules we're not discussing here that are built into pikemen about how they work against cavalry and the support and stuff. There might be something around the support that changes, I guess, longer term. But that's all kind of factored into the points, because at 50 points, they're pretty good value now compared to other. Yeah. I mean, this is, unless you're getting to the range of skeletons, this is as cheap as infantry gets.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious. I've watched the back and forth over the last couple of years. Again, this is not an army I've ever played, just because I cannot work out what you do with the pikemen. And the problem is they're like the signature unit for the army, one of the signature units. So you can't get away from them. And I know we've struggled to try and make them work on the tabletop in the way that we would like, that's balanced and representative.
Yeah, yeah, but also because they're a signature unit, there's no cap on these. So you can, if you make a mistake on these, you can really, people can really go to town on them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Have all armies of them, nothing but them.
I mean, like, we've made it like a thing of, what, we don't want to invalidate people's collections, do we? Or like, or rebase them, because pikemen are based like cavalry to the short edge. So we've never wanted to we never suggested a change where they're based as normal infantry, but they get a defended bonus against cavalry. Because that would mean rebasing them, you know, like physically. You know, so it's like, they're the problem child. Yes.
Right. Giants. We've done giants. Another giant.
Yeah.
Right. So dwarves. Big winners from the changes this year.
I like this. This is good. These are good.
Right. So handgunners, one unit of handgunners per 1,000 points can count towards the minimum requirement of dwarf warriors. So that's kind of like in many other armies, we did this with Empire, and then we've gradually rolled it out across all the other armies. If you get a minimum, if you get a shooting unit, you can swap it for your core unit. That works out quite nicely, actually.
I'm not sure that's the case for Empire. I'm not sure Empire can swap halberdiers for crossbowmen.
Oh, no, sorry. So you're right. It's
It was something else. It was something else.
Crossbowmen can be handgunners.
Yeah. So I think this is a novel change, this one, but it's to kind of combat the fact that dwarf armies are really kind of boring to build, because you spend so many points on the general and then four units of dwarf warriors, and then you got your artillery that you have to take. There's nothing left. There's no points left.
Did we have a discussion about doing this with Chaos Dwarves as well that didn't get voted on? I didn't get voted through.
I think that because they were dealing with slaves, because it would be blunderbuss, wouldn't it? Get swapped in, I guess.
Blunderbuss and warriors.
But they were talking about doing it with a different unit.
Yeah.
Goblins or sled. I can't remember which one it was. We talked about it earlier.
Okay.
Hobgoblins.
I thought there was this as well. But okay. Well, let's see how it goes for the dwarves. Slightly more varied build.
And it was definitely discussed with ogres, but it didn't get any traction at all because people didn't want that.
That was it. Yes.
That was it. Yes. Yeah.
We made enough changes to ogres. We'll come to that. So that's the handgunners. Rangers.
This is really interesting. This allows different list building with dwarves and different things to do.
So basically, we can shortcut this, can't we? And just say that rangers are now have the ambush rule in effect.
So one unit per 1,000 points doesn't. Has the has the ability to infiltrate. So there's no points change. So the most you could take in a normal game would be two units of rangers, one per 1,000 points, like that has infiltrate. So you could have two units infiltrating. And that really, that makes me want to play dwarves. Like, and to do that definitely, because as you say, Barry, like the dwarves as a build had been like long worked out in terms of like, this is how you build dwarves, how you play dwarves. And the only real variation in it is whether you go mono warrior and cannons like just like that, or do you have anything else? But this will change it up, because with their command 10, it gives them an ability to project power out onto the battlefield, and like who knows, like I think it's a great rule, and it's like it was one that was tried before, because it was like styled it like miners. But now, there are models that people make of miners, like looking characters, and this is how I'd do it, if you wanted to. Or have a unit that has a mixture of miners and rangers in it, why not? I am double plus one to this change for me.
Yeah. The issue rangers had is in Revolution, they lost the key ability, which was the ability to pursue things.
Yeah, they couldn't stay as they were, because like I'd played events with dwarves where it never was the right choice to do. You'd have some rangers, and it was never the right choice to pursue with the rangers.
And like, nothing else.
It just never came up. It just never. Yeah. It was never like, okay, I could do this, but it's not the right move to make.
So if you've got your infantry in a flank, you pursue with everything, and if it was in the front, you can't, because you're just sending rangers in to die.
Unless you had multiple rangers, I just never came across it. Like, and they were paying points for a rule they never used, and they had to, so something had to change with them. You know, like,
now they've got 5 up armor and shooting. They've got quite a lot to bring to the party, haven't they?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, as in these ambushes, it will be table dependent, like in terms of like, you know, and again, you can play around, the opponent could do something about that, be like, oh, hang on, there's a very good chance that like those rangers will turn up like in that wood, and then what does that mean to me? You know, and plus it's great for scenario play as well, gives dwarves like an ability to like dash forward and capture things.
Okay.
Yeah, I think for listeners with long memories, the reason that the rangers are allowed to pursue cavalry was in the original version of the rules, where you had unlimited rounds of combat, the dwarves had no cavalry and therefore needed something that could actually pursue the cavalry. So the change from revolution to fixed two rounds of combat, that didn't sort of nerf the usefulness of that ability. For me, this is actually, I think, very interesting. We've gone around with dwarf miners, essentially infiltrators, for quite a while. And without wishing to add a new unit type to our list, I think it's a very nice way of doing it.
Yeah.
And for those of you listening, if you want models for this, Magister Militum, do some dwarf miners. If you want good old school lead, Varus miniatures, that's a guy called Florian Wortman. Florian's actually been doing some nice stuff. He's got a Kickstarter that just finished for some Norse dwarves. I got the first lot of files for that this week, and they're very, very nice indeed. Prior to that, on his Patreon, there were some dwarf miners, and they're, again, really, really nice. So again, hello, Florian, if you're listening, keep up the good work with the dwarves. Because again, I forgot to mention him earlier, another person in Year of the Dwarf who's done a dwarf army. So if you want a Norse... Yeah, it is Year of the Dwarf. Not Year of the Plague, Demon, that was three years ago. But, you know, nice work. And if you want some more Norse-style dwarves, go check out that Varus Miniatures on Patreon and Gumroad and other channels.
Okie doke.
Right, excellent. Empire, stay the same.
Look at them.
Empire, yep. Constant. Phil Janners wins a tournament with them, then they'll be OP and we'll have to tone them down.
For him, it was the ability to use Dogs of War. Regiments of Renown units. Yeah, but like that's the, yeah, they had the Empire had no changes, but if you're playing an event that allows Regiments of Renown, Empire can like benefit from that.
Okay, right. Wow.
We need to talk about Regiments of Renown right at the end, actually. Okay. Right. So goblins, Wark Spell. Again, this is a clarification. So any goblins at all, no matter what they're riding. Squigs, yep. Wolves, pump wagons, not anything that's not a greenskin. So that's pretty good. This is actually both in the orc list and the goblin list, but some of those units don't appear in the orc list, obviously, because orcs don't have squig herds and stuff like that.
Was the change, this was another one where there was you could substitute squig herd for goblins. Is that in here?
I'm just looking. Oh, there it is. 2 years ago, yeah. That was a couple of years ago.
It's because of the confirmatory vote. So I thought that was more recent than that. But okay.
That's why we have the change log like this, just so that we don't forget these things. Right, so the Wax Spell, that just clarifies things quite nicely. The trolls we talked about before. I think you said earlier, Barry, that the Battle of Five Armies, we've sort of ignored it. And I think the reason for that is that many of us might have thought that it was kind of like sort of Warmaster Light, or a watered down version, which kind of came out at a moment when the sort of Warmaster, classic Warmaster, was sort of in the setting sun of its period.
Mm.
And I think there may be some other good, you know, nuggets to go and mine for
definitely
in that rulebook.
Because when you take the expansion for the, there was quite a lot of metal stuff that's like crazy expensive, obviously. The rules for those as well, there were quite a few units, considering there were only two factions, good and bad.
Yeah, I'm going to get my copy off the shelf this afternoon and have a read. Okay, so the trolls, nice idea. Let's see how that goes. Giants, we talked about.
I mean, let's be honest, it is a big, big buff to trolls. We haven't made them more expensive, and they've got a massive buff potentially. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see if trolls rule the day, then we may, if we see trolls in chaos armies,
then
we
know. Then you'll know. Then you'll know.
Okay.
High elf, right. Dragon Rider.
High elves, Dragon Rider. Now, only 270 points.
He got an extra bit off. I'm sure the other guy went to 280, didn't he?
Yeah, but like, where do they start at? It's true, actually. If they both start at 300, they have changed, yeah.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Still makes no difference.
Yeah. I mean, I'll definitely be trying it, but it's not gonna make a competitive like high elf list, I think.
Was it Jeff that had five dragons?
He didn't try that once, yeah.
Five dragons.
Yeah.
Two of these and three of the characters.
Three characters, yeah.
It didn't work.
The army of Kalidor, wonderful.
It did not work. There are these things again, and the same with the Storm of Stone. So that rattled back to the Chaos Dwarf spell, which had basically same mechanics. Changed the three attacks.
Because this Storm of Stone was a six up spell and did literally nothing and took forever to resolve.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a reroll because you're high elves, but man alive, this spell was rubbish. I mean, a lot of the high elf spells are rubbish, if I'm being honest, but this one was exceptionally rubbish. I mean, what do they do apart from get you to shoot twice the high elf spells?
Thinking.
There's the weird one where you get one attack per unit for a 30 centimeter bubble, which is like.
Yeah, light of battle. Yeah.
None of them were game changing. I think, yeah, the being able to shoot twice spell was the only one. But I think how good it was depended on your build. If you'd taken the bolt shooters, that was quite good. But or if you got those units of Reavers in just the right position, then that did make it quite effective.
But this spell was like off the charts of like not doing it. You don't even get drive backs from them. I don't even know what it was meant to do.
Well, just it's like combat. It adds to combat. So you'd need at least two units fighting, like, to make it even concentrate.
But that's a six-up spell. How often are you going to get... You're not using a Ring of Magic on it, are you?
No, I also don't really have a Ring of Magic spell.
No.
Anyway. Okay, so let's see how
it's better.
That.
So that's good. It's better.
Right, Kistler. This is a couple of quite interesting changes here. We'd voted previously that the War Wagon can move 5 centimetres when lagered up, i.e. in that defended position that is almost impossible to take down. Going back to classic Warmaster, you needed to be going in with something like 30 attacks or 28 attacks to stand any chance of taking the War Wagon down in multiple units of combat. And restricting the combat to 2 units made it even more difficult.
2 rounds, yeah.
So the change here, 4 hits, not 5, and the points go down by 15. Which I think that's fair. We'll see how that plays out with Kislev armies.
Because that 4 hits is per stand. So it's like 8 hits for the unit. And it was 10. 10 was mental for defended and 3 up armor or whatever the bloody hell it's got.
It was always defended when it was lagered. That's what made it more difficult because you had to go in with a stupendous number to try and take it down.
No charge bonuses and oh my God.
No.
Yeah.
So this is these sort of changes. Alice has done a lot of this because Kislev is one of his sort of go-to armies, and I know Jim has had a lot of input in this because he's played Kislev a lot, as we all know. So we'll see how that goes.
So this is not a buff. It looks like a point reduction, but it's to compensate for the fact that we've made them like quite a lot more killable. Hopefully,
yeah. I think it's fair. Yin and yang.
Yeah.
Bears. Uber Bears. Fanatics, but very squishy Uber Fanatics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
what's the difference between these and a Fanatic? They've just got, have they got an extra attack?
One extra attack. It was 5, there were 5 attacks, but they were 4 wounds. So it was 5-4-0, not 5-3-0.
But that's the same as Troll Slayers. They're just Troll Slayers then, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 5-4-0. Yeah, Troll Slayers, 90 points. But Troll Slayers are slightly different. They get extra attack extra attack against monsters, while Bears are getting a +1 attack in the same round, for monsters and chariots.
Okay.
slightly different. I mean, basically, it's changing what the bears are all about and how they fit in the Kislev army. Like, so they would be good operating on their own, like against, like, you know, rather than leading an attack.
Yeah, they were expensive for what they were. They were 105 or something. And no, I don't think I ever saw a unit of bears in any Kislev army.
I saw them and I had to apologize to the fellow I was playing against. It was at the north of the border, because when I read the stat line and what they did, it said these are awful. They don't do anything. anyway, he took them because he liked them, but he said they were awful as well.
They were lovely models.
Yeah.
Anyway, so anything, so they can now be brigaded with anything you want. That's important, because the brigading restriction was another big problem with them. They can only support each other. They must pursue, which means that once you fire them in, you're never going to get them back. Mm. And they're only defended in dense terrain rather than other things. So you can't hide your bears behind a wall and say they're defended behind the wall. They have to be in woods or something like that.
But, okay.
Go on, sorry.
No, it's fine. I said if you could find some way of using a spell or something to make them defended, it wouldn't work because...
Ah, that's true as well, yes.
Okay.
Okay, we'll see if people like bears now. Any models out there for
that. Well, they can't like them any less, let's be honest.
Well, that's true, yes. Right, lizard men. Barry, you're Mr. Lizard Man, so do you want to talk
about
this?
Back in the day, I still didn't take Stegodon. It's possible now. It's possible I'd take a Stegodon now because 25 points is a big discount. And they certainly are very, very difficult to put down without like cannons or something.
Mm.
A lot of fanatics
you can usually do the job if you can get them in.
Who?
Fanatics.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, they're a big old lump with terror. And I mean, with these things, we've talked about it earlier. You don't ever want to get to the position where people are taking like max Stegodons
in lists
or max other big monsters, because if you're building a Lizardman army, if you've got two Stegodons and some cold ones and your minimum, that's probably your army done. There's been very little left.
Mm. I've been thinking with this. I mean, there's basically with Lizardmen, there's two possible builds. There is the tournament build, which is your one with eight Sauruses and, you know, maximum cavalry, maximum flyers, which is it's a competitive army. And
but the flyers are getting toned down quite a lot at the moment.
It has its weaknesses, but it's a good army, fun to play with, not necessarily so much fun to play against. Then you've got the other version of Lizardmen, where you do two Stegodons, and that's the one you play if you want to have fun. It's not competitive at all, but it's a good laugh with the Stegodons.
I don't think
an extra 50 points is going to make it a tournament winning
list. No, I agree. But if it started to come down further than this, like to that 200 point magic point mark, I mean, bloody Rhinox Riders are 200 points, 220 points, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So what are you going to spend your extra 50 points on? Can you get two units of skinks for that? No. More skinks to hide in a
hide. Maybe I can take some salamanders, which I never take, but we'll see.
Now you would, Barry, because this rule with changing of salamanders makes them...
Well, you could have a third Stegodon, don't you? Because you could have your big man on a Stegodon.
Yeah, exactly.
Three Stegodon list.
One general, you're never going to put it... Yeah,
he doesn't do anything, does he? Game in. What's he do?
End the game if you lose the Stegodon.
Right, salamanders can now stand and shoot. I never really understood why they couldn't stand and shoot. I never took them anyway.
Yeah, you can't have ever used them, Barry.
I did when I was first starting out, because I bought an army, and to make 2,000 points, I had to use everything,
mm-hmm.
including these. And then I went out and bought some other stuff, because I even though it was really expensive to buy Lizardmen back then, because you just couldn't use these fellas. I still don't know what you'd use them for. Why would you make your worst unit more expensive?
Yeah, I mean, it's a... I think the problem with the salamanders are not the salamanders themselves. It's what you would attach them to, which has to be some skinks. And unless you had a brigade with a Stegodon surrounded by skinks, you might consider the salamanders at that point, just to make it a bit harder to get something in to kill off the Stegodon. But there's too many ifs and ifs and ifs and ifs.
You're just adding more and more points into this black hole. That's... So yes. You've got this unit that you never want to see combat, and you give it another 25 points per unit to make it slightly less shit in combat, which you never want to see.
Yep.
Sounds perfect.
But now at least they can stand and shoot. But yeah, hooray.
Right. Moving on.
Oh, this is a big one.
Right. Nippons. This, okay. Big. It's probably one of the biggest changes across the board of an army list. We had a developmental Nippon list, which we sort of theory hammered and then put out in the middle of the lockdowns, actually. And it seemed to be pretty good. But, and this sort of came out of a podcast episode that you guys did at the beginning of the lockdowns or somewhere around there, just before. Anyway, the logic there was that you had basically a Bretonian-style breakpoint, but applied to an infantry army. So only certain infantry units, i.e. the samurai and a couple of others, counted towards the break. And then you had lots of demon stuff and other, not chaff, but things that didn't count. Problem with that, major exploit. Take your minimum units of samurai, which is, I think, six, quite a big chunk of the army. You would hide it in a big forest or two small forests, and then the other stuff would run around doing the fighting, so the expendable stuff. So two big differences between this and the Bretonian list. Bretonians, you can't hide your cavalry in a forest, and in the Bretonian army, the chaff is terrible. Unlike the stuff here, because they only were pretty decent, and the flyers were decent and all the other stuff. So back to the drawing board, unfortunately. So what we now have is an army where all the units now count to break. Jim and I playtested quite a few variations where the samurai might have counted for double, like the Romans and some of the ancient lists. And we found it was just too complicated. These just go for a simple, straightforward break point. The Ronin have a fanatic profile. We tried a lot of variations for this. We may still make some changes there, but for now, the Ronin are the one, the fanatic profile is the one that fits least badly with what we wanted to do. We've now called them Mikata. Mikata kind of means friends or allies, I believe. And the logic there was so that people who've got warrior monk units in their collections can use them in that context. Kominu, which used to have the demon hound profile, have now got basically the direwolf profile and a big points reduction. So same points as direwolves, with the big advantage they're now unstable as well, which is fine. Army special rule has been added, so we mitigate a little bit against demonic instability. This army has no ability to cast spells, so it's kind of like dwarf runesmith style anti-magic.
So what's the special rule, Chris?
The special is if you have your wizard within 20 centimeters, you get +1 on the +1 on the instability table. So if you basically, the demonic units, if you keep the wizard really, really close to them, they're not going to evaporate. You might get some stands back, but they have this instability, but they don't have the spell to summon it back like the demons do.
But you can still get it back from the table, I guess.
Yeah, you can get it back. You stand more chance of getting it back. That's the only way you're going to get it back, but you stand more chance if you have the Shugenja, who's not a wizard, but functions like that. You can have them within 20. I should, for this, give a lot of thanks to Matt Kozalowski and Dave Sisko and their group out in Massachusetts. A very, very, very big chunk of the playtesting for this list and the final sort of toing and froing was done by them. So a very good international effort within the community, which is kind of what this whole process was supposed to showcase. This is probably, this and Cathay, there are probably two other episodes, aren't they, to go through and talk about them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, go out and get out. We need another episode really to talk through this.
Yeah, yeah, but I think one of the major rules is missing on this little discussion here.
What's that?
They get like a bonus one to the break.
Yes, that's right, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, what's it called?
I don't know.
Honor and discipline. This is one of the things that the American guys have put forward, that their withdrawal point is basically +1. So if your break point should have been 9, it becomes 10. They're a little bit harder to get off the table. Although if you overdo those dire wolves, your break point erodes pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly another way of dealing with break, because rather than using the Bretonian style,
yeah,
completely changing how break works. Maybe it's something we can adapt to, and different armies break at different points. Maybe just spitballing, high elves aren't leadership 10, but are harder to break. Who knows?
Yes.
Who knows?
Or you mean they're easier to break?
No, harder to break, or more disciplined.
Oh, okay. We have plus two to break. Yeah, right, okay.
Who knows?
Or they're a dying race and they will withdraw sooner because they cannot suffer the casualties.
Yeah, break
minus one to break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why is the break a fixed number?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not my idea, but I think it's a really good idea for how to address some army lists, isn't it? Is like you adjust their break value.
Yeah, so I mean, we've opened the door to it now. So if the door's open, then it's certainly something we can explore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can't say like a nip on a special bunnies, they get plus one break, but nobody else can.
No.
But the door's open.
It can be applied to other armies. And I know we've had some discussions about high elves keeping their command 10, but they break at 1 or 2 points less. For me, that I think solves the problem in a very elegant and fluffy way.
Okay, we will certainly see. Yeah. They certainly wouldn't want to lose their men, would they? Well elves or whatever they are, not men.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, what else have we got? Yes, thanks again to Matt and Dave and all their crew. Hopefully we can get some games in together sometime.
These are good
ones.
Here we go.
Right,
First two are easy.
Right, Mammoths, 180. That's a good points value for a mammoth.
Mm-hmm. They're already one of the more viable monsters, but I mean, again, I don't think it's going to do anything terribly bad.
No.
Hopefully. Less words.
Right. So Valkyries and the Horn of Resounding.
Which before was such a weird like mechanic, really. Like, yeah, and then the rules that were, you know, like were just weird.
How many paragraphs of special rules were there for how you summon the Valkyries?
Forget about it. It's gone.
Too many.
It's gone. Those days, they're like pandemic days now. Those days are gone. We're not going back there again.
Yeah.
So now Valkyries are just a retemplating of the Bretonian Flying Knights.
Grail Knights, yeah.
Pegasus Knights,
yeah.
And the Horde of Resounding just becomes a chariot mount.
It's actually a pay wagon. I think it's been temporary.
Was it a pay wagon?
Yeah. Same rules as a pay wagon.
But it can only be used by a shaman. So you're just moving from 8 to 9 for one turn, like the paymaster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a bit of a shame because when we were in Bruno, I saw somebody had modeled, one of the Czech guys had modeled the most beautiful Horn of Resounding with a Valkyrie flying out of this horn that he'd just summoned. That way, it looked beautiful.
I just put it in the unit.
Yeah.
I think he'll keep it in his army, but it just it looks like that's a nice way of doing it. Well done.
He'll still be happy with the changes.
I think he was happy with the changes. Absolutely.
Oh my God, we got
right, the ogres. Right, ogres, ladies and gentlemen, are the...
I had very little to do with the ogres, I've got to be honest, apart from voting on them.
Actually, me too. I've had my season with ogres and put them back in the box.
But there was a lot of changes to ogres.
Right, so let's go through them. So gorgers now are infiltrators. 5/3/5 at 110, maximum 1 per 1,000. And you can infiltrate them.
So another ambush unit like rangers.
Another ambush unit, yep.
One per 1,000.
That is a meaty profile for an infiltrating unit.
Yeah.
So I predict many gorgers will be taken this year. Barry, you better get some of your... what are they called? Savagekin from your range. Pass that one ready.
Yeah, something like that. So are they very different to rangers? They've got some extra attack. They've lost the hit.
They've got extra attack, less hit. They haven't got a crossbow. They haven't got a shot with a crossbow. But
by the palms to say.
It's if they infiltrate and say you pull off a second order and they're charging somebody's flank or whatever. It's the amount of attacks they will do will like smash through stuff.
So were the rangers restricted in their numbers?
Rangers restricted to 1 per 1,000.
Oh, so I mean, people have got additional rangers in the collection. That's just like tough tiddles for now. Until
no, you're with the dwarves. You're allowed whatever number of rangers you're allowed, but you're only allowed 1 per 1,000 that can deploy.
To go into ambush.
But you can have additional ones.
Oh, right. Okay.
In a normal way.
Right. Okay. I understand now. So yeah, it's like the beastmen. You're allowed so many gore and ungore or beastkin or whatever it is, but only a certain amount going to ambush.
That's it.
This is a different word. You know, it's just limited to 1 per 1,000, which is I'm pretty sure where the stat line was anyway.
Yeah.
This is exciting. This makes me, this on its own makes me want to get my ogres out of the box and play them.
Yeah, well, no, again, because like what were before we changed it, what were gorges? They were just another heavy infantry profile, weren't they? That is like, how different are they from ogres? Now
they were fanatics.
Yeah, is it, but they say like, what were they doing that was different?
I don't think they were infantry. I think they were monsters.
Oh, they're monsters.
Chase,
okay.
They could chase.
They didn't really get used until. Now
they could chase cavalry.
Now there's something that different. Yeah, ogres don't have the best their general is command 9. They don't have, they can't abuse an infiltrating rule like a command 10 guy could. But this gives them something different, doesn't it? It goes, okay. And in an ogre army where you are points heavy on everything, really, I think, again, this is really interesting. You could have definitely different builds of ogres now.
The only issue would be you need a third character in order to use these kind of things.
Yes, yeah.
You can't be doing this with a two-character setup, I don't think.
No, that's true. My prediction for 2023 with all these infiltrating units, we're going to see the Crown of Command popping up a lot more.
Well, yeah. So when we come on to Skaven, I'll be speaking about that, yeah.
Okay. Let's see how it goes. I think that'll be fun. Right, what else? Spells are now 30 centimeters.
Makes sense.
That was one of mine.
Thank you, Paul. This is a good change.
Honestly, I think it's been discussed in previous years, and this year it finally got some traction. I never understood why they were. You've got barely any points for a wizard, even if you've got a wizard. He's still got. He's not like a goblin. He's got to be ordering shit. He can't be off the front doing nothing. And the spells are 20. It's like, Jesus Christ, this is impossible. You can never cast a spell.
And there weren't such amazeball spells as well. So yeah, you never took the butcher, did you?
No. You took the only reason I took a wizard was to get a dispel scroll. That's it. Right. So spells 30, perfect. Easy. Yetis.
The Yetis are now basically the same profile as bears.
Or troll slayers or whatever. So whatever.
With a small restriction on support.
Yeah.
Okay. It's fine. No problem there. 2 per 1,000. New unit. Saber Tusks.
I think it's the first time we've ever done a brand new unit, isn't it? I think.
I don't know. I'm not sure Blackgate are going to be doing it. I think the fucking arse has fallen out of that. I'm not sure I'm putting any more money in there. Maybe we'll have to have a kickstart.
It is the way, Barry.
I shouldn't go off on a tangent. I saw a Kickstarter. Does anybody remember BattleTech?
I know what it is.
Miniatures game. Like 6 million it's on. 6 million.
There you go.
And nostalgia sells. Jesus Christ. Right, Saber Tusks. Right.
So basically, Saber Tusks, these are 330 cavalry at 40 points. They're basically Chaos Hounds. But you're only allowed 1 per 1,000.
You see the fish head, man. You know the Star Wars fish head with that meme? It's a trap! You've got so little break. It's like you've got these nobblers you can't hide. I mean, they might do some work early doors if you're lucky, but god damn, you have so little break in an ogre army. It wasn't something I suggested.
This has been around for a while. I tried to propose this a couple of years ago and got completely shot down.
I mean, in worst case, you don't take them. There's nobody making you take them.
Absolutely. So it is another couple of things. Yeah, I mean, I would be cautious of how I use these because, the break point of the ogres is razor thin and chucking 2 points of it away, you can't really do that. But let's see how it goes.
Because people complain about, my vampire cat army gets killed because of the direwolves, or my beastman army loses because I've taken too many hounds. Well,
don't take so many of them then.
Yeah, I mean, God, is it easier to kill two units of saber tusks or 2 units of rhinox? I'll take the 2 saber tusks, please, sir. Give me 4 nobblers on that, and I've broken you. I understand that he gives you something to do early game. In that you've got some reach that aren't that are kind of disposable.
But also, it gives you list building options because there aren't many cheap things, are there?
No. Nobblers. That's it.
Yeah. So this gives you something else, and it's a profile that is in the game already.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And if you want to take them, take them. But Your Janus player, even though this was kind of his idea, he never goes down this cheat route, does he, with ogres? He has like just like the big stuff. Just bulls, iron guts, that's it.
In if you're listening and wondering where do you get the models for this from, Barry, one of the characters in the Black Git range looks very nice as a character to be the beast handler. Miniatures themselves, Magic Simulator, a couple of sort of in their ancient creatures range that might look quite good. So you're looking for sort of tigers and things like that. If you're in the printing world, again, Varus miniatures, Florian has a nice range. Actually, he did the models a couple of weeks ago. And there's also an ogre character who looks very fluffy. So if you wanted to have one of your tyrants modeled as somebody who, you know, looks like he's brought all his dogs out with him, then there's a nice miniature there as well.
Okay.
Cool.
Onwards. Giants, easy. Rhinox, yeah. This is my favourite change.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to take them. You don't want to spend 220 points on Rhinox, but you have to have two. I know Janus doesn't, but then you're playing a very linear game, aren't you? You're playing a defensive, I'm in terrain, you've got to come and kill me game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've saved yourself 40 points, because I'm going to take two units anyway. So
now you can take a unit saver tasks.
Yay!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right. So ogres now look like a really fun army to play. You can buy the whole army, minus the saber tusks, from blackgateminiatures.com. Please buy them, because Barry put a lot of work into that project.
Hey, don't worry
really
about it.
It's like lovely models.
It's like the thingy, isn't it? The salad cream thing. I've got to say, it's going out of business. Going out of business soon. Buy it now. Buy your salad cream now. However, I didn't do it for money.
No, that was good.
Yeah, great
for that.
Right, anyway, Orcs and Goblins, War, because we're already at 18 minutes to 12.
Right, okay. So War we talked about, Trolls we talked about, Giants we talked about. That's it. So they just changed the talk in other armies. The Trolls, I think that let's see how they come along. That could be some quite good fun. Better read up on that regenerate room. Right, Mr. Winter.
Hello. This is my Skaven. Time.
Off you go.
So Skaven,
let's just say firstly that all these got through because Paul didn't suggest any of them.
What? Okay. So Plague Monks just had a basic clarification, that there's no, they're actually not different. They're just clarified to be better written, their rules. So move on.
They're not the same as Fnatic. It's probably how everybody played them anyway.
Yeah.
So Warp Lightning Cannons didn't have a place in the army at all. Were terrible.
They were terrible.
Couldn't use them. So now they have. Now they've been changed to be stat line of a bolt thrower, except they can move 20, which is necessary because otherwise, again, they'd have no place because they just get left behind. And they needed a negative because they had a buff, which is 20 centimeters of movement. So if you roll a double one to hit or multiple ones, become confused. And now that does matter. So I used all of these in Bruno, these rules. So I was like, yeah, cool. So having four stands of warp lining cannons doing 3, 6, 9, 12 attacks out does something. But then rolling multiple ones to hit meant they were confused in my turn. It meant that the opponent, I couldn't move them my next turn. And that did cost them that cost the brigade often their die because of that. So they couldn't reposition.
So you have to roll each unit separately. So you roll
six dice. So like, this unit rolls six dice. I've got two ones, they're confused. And then even if only one's confused, what are you leaving that one behind? It's like, it is actually, that does matter. That negative really matters.
They can still shoot.
Yeah, because they can still shoot. They can become, basically, in your next turn, you can't order them. So you can't react. Yeah. So scroll on down. The gutter runners, so what they've gone down to 60 points. So their min max has changed so that you can't have, I think it was four. So you got eight of the gutter runners before. But now what this means is that they can be ordered outside of under the lash rule. So, so that makes gutter runners again a viable choice, because before you could order them, you could try and bring them on as an infiltrating thing, but then you're under the lash meant that you could never really order them again unless you had sent a character off and you really hedged your bets you were going to pass an order or something, or that ambush was so close to your rest of your army, did it really make a difference? This makes them viable, this makes them usable again, like as in like they will see they'll be in a future Skaven army list of mine. Which is fantastic.
They seem relatively good value at 60 points.
There's
a small typo. It says artillery, Chris. Not it's a big deal, but
where? Sorry.
Good to run as type artillery, but you might as well correct it while you're here.
Yeah, because I'll use this as the basis for next year's one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. This is good actually. Of all the infiltrating troops, the gutter runners are always the hardest to use because of the under the lash rule. So I think this makes them more interesting.
So Skitterly got changed because it was a spell that you would never need to cast because it was useless, and that changed to Wither, which is a debuff spell which has a place again. So that's all fantastic because it's changing something that was never used to something that you might use.
Yeah.
Carry on. Yeah.
So that's it.
Okay, and I'll speak about like what didn't. What hasn't changed is like, so there was talk about a Screaming Bell being an upgraded like character mount. As in, like, what the Screaming Bell is currently changing to a character mount for a Grey Seer. It's doing the same effects, but mount. So rather than a unique machine that was brought in, it was a character mount. I really liked it personally as a character mount,
Did it not become like the balloon in the Artillery Dwarf list in that it was a really irritating buff that you could never get rid of?
Kind of, I suppose. I would still use the old rules of, because it wasn't its effects weren't any different, just how it was used on the table. Like,
you can't get it off the table is what I'm trying to say, can you?
Yeah.
Although I never managed to kill a Screaming Bell yet. I have never managed. It was possible to remove the thing from the table.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a character mount, it's not that straightforward to get rid of something. Yeah.
So that's great. The other thing about Skaven, I want to say, so Skaven had evolved to the only way really to play them like competitively was to get like a break 20 clan rat army, which I didn't really particularly enjoy using. It wasn't fun to be played against. It was just like an absolute horde that rolls forward and does the game. Now it's like, now a Skaven list would have everything back in it again, because the units that you couldn't use are useful again. And you get a lot more interesting army out of it, and a more interesting game out of it. So, fantastic changes for Skaven because it's in for the reasons I've just all said.
Okay, onwards, Chris.
Excellent. Onwards, right? Nice and quick. Tomb Kings, couple of points changes on the monsters. Sphinx is down to 135. Bone Giant's down to 110. Again, we'll see whether that makes people take them. My experience with playing Tomb Kings is that they're lovely these sort of things are lovely models, but you're not really going to take them because they're not that effective. They're too much of a point sink. But I don't know. Do you ever take those things in your... I know you play Tomb Kings occasionally.
I think the Sphinx is good defensively. I've never liked the Bone Giant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Witch Hunters don't change.
Witch Hunters, nothing changes. Wood Elves, nothing changes. Vampire Cards, nothing changes. And Siege Engines, those didn't change either. So that's it.
Good stuff.
Did you want to speak about Regiments of Renown, Chris?
Yeah. Yes.
So I just want to say thank you to all those people who gave their time and energy and life force and all the other good stuff for nothing.
And just so that people who are doing the listening version of this. So Barry, Alish, Dave, Nathan, Rad,
you miss yourself, Chris. You got to make can't miss yourself off Chris.
Okay, and me. Ole, Polly, Rad again. Thomas, Peter, Chris, Martin, Jim, Ian, Paul, Matt, Michael, Matt, Chris, and Peter. Thank you all very much. It's a very thankless task, but thank you all for the time that you put in to everything.
Yeah, and a special thanks to Jim, because I know he's standing down and. He's been there since the beginning, and he's put in as much work and time and effort as anybody on the committee, easily.
I think Jim wants to devote more of his time in the experimental forum to sort of nurturing good ideas and getting somebody to bring them forwards, which I think is going to be really, really useful. Because again, all these changes, it's not just something that we like make up. We do play test things and try things out, which is exactly where the experimental forum should help. So if you're watching this, hopefully, Barry, can you put a link to the experimental forum in the, when you put this up on YouTube?
Mm-hmm, show notes,
So that people can find it if they want to. But otherwise, if you're just searching on it, if you Google War Master Revolution experimental forum, it should come up.
One thing I would say about the expendable forum is, like, we have a lot of members on there, but not that much activity. So people need to get involved. Don't be afraid to post shit up, please.
Yep.
And get involved.
Especially don't be afraid to post good stuff up as well. That'll be good.
Yes. There's a lot of people there, whatever the word is, like voyeuring, but we need to kind of have more discussion if possible.
Yeah, definitely.
And be collaborative. Please don't try and shoot people down. Even though I'm guilty of that probably as much as anybody. But yeah, so I just wanted to, because I know everybody else at the moment has, nobody apart from Jim has not recommitted to next year. So I just wanted to make sure we said thank you to Jim publicly, because, he's been there since the beginning.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jeff.
Yeah, Jim, thank you, as always. Voice of reason in many. Many's a heated discussion.
Okie doke.
So, now, one of the things that did come out of the experimental forum you mentioned a moment ago, the regiments of renown. So these are optional rules, i.e. your opponent must allow you to use them. Whether we see them in the tournaments or not, again, I think that's TO's discretion at the moment. But again, have a look in the army books about book at that. It's right at the back, basically a way of adding in one unit of something that you're not normally allowed to have in your army. The Polish guys who've written this, in particular, Peter, it's been a big, big work for them. What they've done very nicely is done it in a way that it's not going to unbalance any armies. So you can't, for example, add regiments of renowned cannons into your wood elf army. That's definitely not permitted. So what you get, they've thought it through very nicely to make sure that you don't unbalance a list or give an army something that it definitely shouldn't have allowed access to. So do check that out. And if you have multiple armies, you may want to switch the odd thing and just a little bit of nice fun and variation whatever you're doing.
And it's not a core rule, so I mean, take it, leave it, use it, don't use it. This is the good thing about when you have an active community. People bring stuff to the table. You want to eat at the table, eat at the table. I mean, we've used it in the past, I think, in tournaments. I think Jim had a tournament and Janice that you were allowed regiments of renown. I'm sure we did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we saw it a bit at the LTT last year because Paul allowed it. But I mean, the bottom line, actually, with all these experimental things, today we've talked through the sort of approved things, which is basically the nice, tight tournament set of rules, the things that you would do for casual pickup play, where you know that you're going to play your opponent with something balanced. There's absolutely nothing to stop anybody who's listening doing whatever they like as house rules. Play whatever you like, try it out, whatever you like. If you find something that actually sounds good, put it on the experimental forum and let all the rest of us have the benefit of your nice idea. And who knows, some of the stuff that you've played this year and next year may turn up as an approved change in the future.
Yeah, don't, whatever you do, don't rely on Facebook to be the place you post stuff that then people can see in the future, because it's beyond impossible to find things on Facebook.
That's why it's a forum, because these discussions go on over months and months. Facebook is not very good for finding things later.
Yeah, and it filters what you see as well. Unless you tell it to show all replies, it just selected random replies, it seems. I don't even know how it filters the replies. So if you want to do anything for the game, you like the game, you want to get involved in the game, get on the experimental forum, get discussing things. For sure, bring your new army, because that's what everybody wants to do, make a new army list. Make your army list. Maybe use harpies instead of pterodons occasionally. So we don't see pterodons in every list, but keep talking about the game, and then the game will improve, and next year we'll have more source materials to draw on. The more people are talking about it, the more ideas there are, the better the game will be.
Exactly. The more chance of an original idea that solves a problem really elegantly.
Yeah, like, I'll be honest, with the Nippon thing, my first reaction, because I'm a very small C conservative, I definitely don't vote conservative, but from a perspective of the game, I'm like, not quite zealot, but the source material is precious to me. I think there's a lot more thought and effort went into the game than sometimes given credit for, with the revisionists who want it all fucking keyworded and boiled down to the soup that is modern wargaming. It's a bit different to that, but I forgot what I'm saying now. The dementia's setting in.
Nippon.
Oh, Nippon. Yeah. So I was reticent to embrace the fact that they get a little special plus one command, but maybe those plus one break. But maybe that is part of what the future will look like. Maybe that's the first stage in what will be the evolution of the game. Who knows? Yeah. Who
and knows? Possibly the solving of the command 10.
Yeah, maybe. Come back in a year's time and we'll know the difference.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. And we'll obviously do this again in a year's time, hopefully, if we're all still here.
Yep.
Fighting the good fight.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Right.
Okay.
So thank you for reminding me when my dementia kicks in. I laugh about dementia. Hopefully it's not a real thing, but I think you're the last to know, aren't you, if you've got it, so...
Normally,
yes.
Normally, so maybe
I think we're all somewhere along that track. I think
shouldn't joke about it, but anyway, thank you very much for all your time and effort, and thanks for coming on today, Chris.
Pleasure. Thank you very much,
Chris, for your time.
Thank you. Yeah. See you all later,
Paul. Thank coming on again, Paul. I will buy you a light for Christmas.
Thank you.
So we can see your face. Yeah. Oh, are we stopped? Oh,
we're not stopped.
Not stopped. Right, so well.
No, that's it. Right, goodbye. Do you want me to end this now, or you're going to cut it at that point, aren't you?
That was Warmass Podcast, episode 180, with Paul and Chris and Barry.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Would you like to know more?